You are listening to Journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. Yes, yes, yes. Well, well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Journeys on not only Studio B on Revolution Radio, but also Studio A. And I'm just... No, still. We're not able to do that. I'm having to cover for Lorien Fenton. So the issue is that I'm going to have to balance it between the adverts on Studio A and our experience here on Studio B, which of course is completely staggered. So I don't know how you do it all in the other times. However, I'm just going to just keep bringing it in and hoping that it's... That's nice and quiet. All right, yeah. So welcome to Studio A as well. This is a simulcast, three stations, Studio A, Studio B, Wolf Spirit Radio, Ever Beyond Radio, and probably Haggy Shack as well. I'd like to welcome everybody. And if you want to go to the chat rooms, there's freedomslips.com and then there's wolfspiritradio.com /listen. That will give you the Wolf Spirit chat room. Are there any information we need to share? Yeah, I'm still looking for more producers. Anybody who's interested in running a radio station that they've thought about doing it, if you can connect with me over Skype, my Skype is jeremy.perron, but you can look it up, or connect through Ever Beyond Radio or Wolf Spirit Radio, or somebody will know me. You can connect with me and learn to run a radio station out of a box. You can take an old laptop that ran Vista or something useless like that and make it really useful with a free Ubuntu system that can run a radio station for free. So anyway, I'm willing to help train people up. We're gathering a group together to do it, and I'll probably do some webinars as well. So audio production with JP. So, tonight's show, well, the show has always been called Journeys. And a few years ago, I took up the reins when the original journey person decided to go on another journey for a little while. And so I've been holding the fort since then. But actually, she's come back to me tonight, and I'm very, very, very pleased to bring back the original journey person, Rebecca Journeygan. How are you? How are you, my dear?
Hey, JP. How are you? What an intro, man.
I couldn't quite phrase it properly, but yeah, it's really nice to have you back.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I'm sure lots of people have been thinking now, wow, that's a familiar voice. Where have I heard that before?
A little bit of everywhere, huh?
Yeah. So, you've been doing some, Project Camelot work, doing some video, but the last time we really heard you, you were, going to the pyramids.
Yes. Absolutely. And, you know, I think I'd like to remind everyone is that afterwards, and that would have had to have been in 2013, you know, just time is just like zips by, right? Just zips by. We're going to talk a little bit about that time convolution thing as well tonight a little bit, I think. We'll get into that. But when I got back from Egypt, I came onto the show a couple times and we talked a little bit about some of the experiences I'd had, some of the things that I had seen, and, you know, really what the trip was all about. it was during that time, and I know where you want this to go, so I'm going to just kind of barge right in and just go for it. Before I do that, though, I want to tell everyone that that's out there listening tonight, thank you so much for those of you who welcomed me so warmly to the show tonight. You have no idea how it just really seriously just it just warms my heart. And I try real hard not to get emotional, but I do get a little choked up every now and then. So thank you all. Yeah, just thank you all for being just the loving, beautiful people that you are. So thank you. And thank you to JP for holding the reins for me for all these years. And I can't thank you enough, JP, for everything that you've done. And, you know, time goes by and you and I will catch up. We may not talk to each other for months, and it's just like we've never not talked, you know. It's just one of those
friends.
Really,
yeah, one of those
yes,
friends.
Really, really cool relationships. Anyway, when I got back from Egypt, I had been kind of sick off and on, you know, prior to that. But after being over in Egypt, the thing that most people don't know is some of those tombs and some of the sites that we've seen was just filled with mold. And, I'd already had some issues with, my health prior to going over there, and all that did was just set a whole series of events in motion. Which, you know, is really when you stop and think about it, JP, how, you know, profound that really was. You know, I mean, nobody wants to be sick, and nobody wants to go through health crises or anything like that. But sometimes it's just extremely necessary for the evolution of the soul, for you to clear out stuff that doesn't belong to you anymore. And we've talked a lot about this off the air. You know, time, as it were, past or present or future, how it affects who we are in this reality as we're sitting here speaking with each other, right? So, one thing leads into another, and my health issues had to have been dealt with. So off and on, I was pretty off and on the air for a few years. I kept telling people, you know, I feel like I'm trying to breathe through water. You know, it just feels like I got water all the time. And so going to the doctors, they always tell you, well, you got pneumonia, you got bronchitis, you know, you've got a chest cold, you've got a, you know, ear infection, whatever the case may be, right? So they give you antibiotics, they send you home, you do whatever you can. You know, I tried to stay away from the doctor as much as I could, but it didn't work. I ended up having to go. And after a lot of years of misdiagnosis, I finally figured out what this water in the lungs thing were. It actually started when I was a little tiny baby. I had scarlet fever, and it scars the lungs. And I, you know, was not aware of all the, you know, long-term effects of that. And then when I was in my 20s, I had two spontaneous pneumothoraxes, which is just a real fancy word for saying spontaneous collapsed lungs. There was no accident. There was no trauma. Just, I was standing there and my lung would collapse. Well, the long-term effect of that is that it builds fluid within the lungs. And so my whole body was filled with fluid all the time, and I just couldn't breathe. It got to the point where I just couldn't breathe. I couldn't walk. I had all this fluid. So finally I went to a nurse practitioner, by the way. I wasn't a doctor. I went to a nurse practitioner, and I told her everything that had been going on and the doctors I'd seen and what they said. So she decided that she was going to do a different thing with me, and all of that stuff really made a big difference. And it's allowed me to literally get my life back. I mean, seriously, get my life back.
What's the name of this lady?
well,
you know, I want to give a shout out and give thanks and, you know, send some of the morphological energy of our listenership to this lovely lady who turned everything around for you. You sound great.
What, thank you. We're going to call her Kay Souza.
So, everybody, send a lovely burst of love energy to Kay Souza. Thank you.
Yeah. So, yeah. And so, anyway, she was the big instrumental person, and that was last year, at the beginning of last year, 2016. So it's been another year's journey, literally, to recoup from that and actually be able to get my life back to such an extent that I was actually able to do things again. I was actually able to walk around and to be functional and to be busy and to do things. And it feels really good. And then, you spoke about me being on Project Camelot, and I was on there, was working with Carrie Cassidy. I was hosting my show, on Project Camelot. I had a wonderful engineer. His name was Brian. And he, decided at the end of last year, 2016, that he was no longer going to be, focused on engineering or producing any shows. He had to make some different choices in his life. So he left. And at about that same time, I got sick again, went back to my, lovely nurse practitioner, and she sent me to an ENT, and I'd had such a severe, ear infections that, it literally blew my ears out, and I have two ruptured eardrums. So you can imagine, for people that's never had or has had an earache, what that would really feel like. It was just really, really horrifying. The pain was just horrifying. But I think the strangest thing, and this is really what I'm getting to, is the fact that I lost my hearing. And I have extremely acute hearing. In real life, I did. I had extremely acute hearing. I could hear things and just real subtle things. And my world, excuse me, went silent. It went silent for several weeks.
That must have been the weirdest thing.
It was so odd, JP. I can't even begin to tell you how odd that was and still is. I've regained a lot of my hearing back, but it's not like it was. It's not the acute hearing in this dimension, in this reality that I had before. It's just not. And I would remember sitting there thinking how odd it is, and to really understand what it feels like to be deaf, not to be able to hear, you know, to walk around in this world and not be able to hear the absolute fantastic sounds that are here on this earth. We take these things for granted until they're taken away from us. And then we go, wow, I can't believe how much we miss when we can't hear or we can't see. But it does also then accentuate other things that's going on. So you said, you know, I'm going through these health crises one after another, and you know, it just is really odd, you know, and I had to stop and take stock of everything. And when my hearing went away, of course, the only thing I actually heard was obviously my guides in my head, because I could not hear any external noises whatsoever. There was no sense in watching TV or listening to music or putting on a video or doing anything, because I couldn't hear nothing. There was no sound at all. Couldn't hear nothing. So it got to be where I went back into my creative space, which, for those of you who may or may not remember some of the conversations that JP and I have had, intermittently off of the last few years, I take, old clothing, blue jeans, whatever else I can get my hands on, salvaged materials, things like that. And I upcycle them. I make other things out of them, such as purses and wallets and pot holders and bag holders and whatever comes out into mine, aprons, the whole nine yards, you know. So I get busy and I start putting these things together. 99% of it goes to other people. I just give it away. And in this experience of being back into the sewing and the crocheting and all that stuff that I do to keep myself busy, so many answers about things that need to be cleared, about sensing energies. You know, I'm an extreme energy sensitive, right? And I think we've actually had those conversations about that before. And so I began to notice different things within my body, which was the I could actually tell you when there was a surge of energy that would come through. I'm not too far from a military base, by the way, which I wasn't. I'd never put two and two together until a couple of years ago. I'm not too far from a military base. So I think there's stuff that goes on there, because it's like you get this little surge of energy. And then, you know, the guides talk to me, the Elohim, they talk to me, and I talk back to them. That was really the only thing that I could hear, was my conversations inside my head or my conversations with them. Because I would have to stand right in front of people, and I would actually have to do a little bit of lip reading, as well as, you know, really straining and they have to talk really loud, you know, so it's hard to go out in public because you're over there yelling. People are yelling at me. It was kind of interesting anyway. So they were talking to me about different things. And as I was making certain items for certain people, if it come across to something that didn't work right, didn't go together right or whatever, they'd say, now take a look at that relationship that you have with that person and how does that feel when you're putting this together. So it's like ding ding ding, lights come on, you know. It's like, oh, okay, so that's, I feel frustrated with this, and now I understand where the frustration comes from when I'm dealing with this person. So a lot of clearing, a lot of really deep understanding comes from when you seriously get extremely silent. And I'm not sure how many of us can actually experience extreme silence, in their space, but I would recommend it not to get an ear infection and get ruptured eardrums. I'm not saying that, but you can find a place where you can just be silent, just totally silent, and then let this, let whatever shows up, show up. And I'm telling you, there, it's just a very profound experience, very deeply moving, very deeply, you understand things beyond the ability to even express it. There's no words for putting together the pieces of your own puzzle and going, oh, that's why I do that, and that's why I do this, and now I understand when I feel this way what that is. And you get to do a lot of clearing. You get to do a lot of, you know, self inspection. It's not about judging the self. It's more about understanding what it is that, how you get in your own way, how you allow yourself to get off track of what you really need to be focused on. It's just a, it's an interesting experience. I wouldn't wish it on anyone as far as how I achieved that, but it is a very valuable experience for what I gained from it after it was all over and done with. So wow. That's kind of where, yeah, that's... Boom.
Yeah. So, right. Okay. So let's kind of roll back a little bit over that. Cause, one of the things that, that I try to do as much as I can is to listen to silence. Because, well, it's never really silent, but it's the turning on the listening facility. That's what allows you to hear and notice what you notice, as you say, take note of feelings that are passing through. Because often we have a torrent of words that are overlaying our stream of feeling, which contains a vast amount of information. And I suppose that being in that silent place, the only words you could hear were your own words, as you were saying, which must have been quite the experience of hearing them kind of reflected against the back wall of the inside of your head, if you see what I mean.
That's right. That's exactly right.
What was the experience? And of course you spend a lot of time as, you know, as a medium being in that inner space as well, don't you?
It's almost as a second nature. It's almost, It is truly a part of who I am. But I'm still able to, you know, be functional because, you know, there's a balance there. But listening to your own self, and have the words that you hear yourself say reflect back to you is a huge understanding of how we actually really do belittle ourselves, how we have allowed this construct and all the things that society says that we're supposed to be, it comes back in these words. I hear a lot of people when they get ill or get sick or they, you know, they have something wrong, they go, I'm battling this. I'm going to war, trying to get over it. Well, if you stop and think about what that really means, that's really a negative. It's not a healing thing. It's not.
Absolutely.
It's
absolutely.
Not positive, right?
Absolutely. People say they're battling cancer. I'm right. Fighting a cold. I'm fighting a disease. And what I've discovered is that that's the last thing you want to do.
Exactly. So in this silent space where everything bounced back at me, I could hear myself, belittle myself all the time. And just little things, not things like that. And then of course, you know, do you hear what you're saying? They would come in and say, can you hear what you're saying to yourself?
What are you like?
Yeah, I really can. And so it was like another, you know, it's getting back to basics. It's like, get a wake up call, because this is part of what you really need to transform permanently. Not just for a couple of years or for 5 years or for 10 years. This needs to be done daily. We need to be very careful about how we word things, why we word things the way that we do, because the meaning in that is you telling yourself things that keep you in a space of not being able to go forward and moving through this ascension process or change process, whatever you want to call it, in a more graceful manner, ego kicking and screaming, or you could take an easier road. You know, that's kind of what I was, you know, kind of taught there, you know, like take an easier road. And I think that the most amazing thing about this whole thing is, JP, is that, you know, you have to, when you are asking to have things revealed to you, they will be revealed to you. And I have always asked the question of, you know, what is it I'm supposed to be doing? What do I need to learn? What more do I need to do? You know, those kind of questions. And most of us do, if we're on any kind of a spiritual path, we're always asking, what else can I be doing? What else can I be looking at? And by golly, they'll come forward and you feel like you're being dumped on sometimes, right? And for me, it was just a series of events. And I'm really glad I wasn't dumped on all at once, because I don't know what I would have done.
Well, it's a slow dripping slurp. It's like, yeah, anyway, let's not go into the details of how the universe treats you. But we all, you know, I've always had this thing, you know, we all have to deal with the universal cosmic karma, which is like basically poop, you know, barrow loads of it. And we all have to process it, you know, and some of us might just leave it in a pile and it just stinks, and some of it spread it around you can add it as compost to other people. It's really strange how it all works, but it's a bit like the ecosystem of the planet. You know, what is a waste to another, to one is food to another. So that's food chain, isn't it?
Exactly. And, you know, there is in what we consider this chaos, which it really isn't, there is structure in this chaos. There's total structure in it. There's always a reason on the other end of it. And, just like Brian, leaving Project Camelot, well, whenever he made that decision, that's when the whole ear thing started, because then I didn't have any way of getting my show out. So I had to take another little short hiatus here, right? And it was like, okay, now what? You know, I'm like, okay, I'll be patient. You know, I've had to learn patience, a lot of patience.
It's one of your, it's been one of your, yeah, anyway, let's not go into it too much.
It's
but
still my challenge.
Yeah, yeah, I know. You see, the thing is that there are times when you're on this planet and you think, this shit should work faster than it does. This, you know, this stupid smartphone, why is there a delay from when I put my finger on the screen to it doing something? It should just do it, you know, just like that's how it should. These things don't work. You have to press them several times, you poke them and, you know, then you throw them on the floor and they don't work at all anymore. But anyway, but it's like that, that it's not, responsive the way you expect it to be, the way you think it should be. Does that idea come from?
I don't know. That's always been my big questions. Like, you know, it's like you do something and then you go to sleep and you wake up and you think it should have, whatever it was you were thinking about should have already changed. Why didn't it change? I already did the work.
That's right. Well, you have to wait 3 days. Am I thinking, cause like when you do a healing on somebody, or, you know, with somebody, You're working on the causal plane, or you know, the higher mental plane, and in order for it to take effect on the physical plane, it's got to go down through the mental plane, down to the astral plane, and then onto the physical plane, and into the etheric body, and then work its way out. And that takes a day. It goes through the cycle. You see, you have to go through three cycles. And that's why there's this thing about 3 days. There's always 3 days, you know? 3 days of darkness. Jesus witnessed this thing for 3 days. There's all kinds of things about 3 days. And, one of the things is, certain tribes, won't attack anybody who's been, eating with them, for 3 days because they've been sharing in the kind of communion thing. So they're still part of them. So you wouldn't attack one. Because you'd be attacking yourself.
Yeah.
That's lovely, isn't it?
Well, so, at least you know you got a 3-day reprieve, right?
That's right. So be that's nice to people that you've fed because, you know, they're all connected with you.
That's true that. True that.
So, meanwhile.
Back at the ranch.
Well, let's dive into a couple of, and I've got a question here, from Karen Kirschbaum.
Okay.
Wolfman JP, can you and Rebecca talk about the Schumann resonance skyrocketing? Some say it is good and about ascension and some say it is driving people crazy. Or both?
Both.
7.83, yes. Well, that's what they say.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I think it's both. And the reason I think it's both is because certain, you know, we all have and we talked a little bit about this today earlier about resonance and frequencies and things like that. The people that think it's bad are probably the ones that are not having a good experience with it. And they can look at this overall effect. And again, it really depends on your perspective, right? So if they're not feeling it in a positive way, it's going to be a negative experience for them. Whereas for other people that can discern different frequencies or resonances, they would look at it from a whole different perspective, which would be it's a positive thing, this whole energy thing. Oop. We got a break coming up.
All right, hang on a second then. So what I'm going to do now is find where my mouse is. And call with that person. And then in 3-4 minutes time, I'll hook them back in. So we can keep going. I have to keep mindful of this though, because I've got to do this twice. And I must remember to reconnect.
Okay, that's probably a good idea.
So anyway, while Studio A is doing its thing, Studio B is still, we're going to keep going. We can talk on a more expanded level about this, about the Schumann resonance and what it is. First of all, what do you think? Do you reckon the Schumann resonance is the cause, or do you think it's an effect of other energies that are playing onto the planet? Because from my perspective, the second is my feeling that it's that, you know, this kind of apparent speeding up, it's a factor of what's going on outside. You know, there's all these different things going on. So what's the guidance that you've had as well, Rebecca?
Well, when you stop and think about everything, JP, there is no separation. You can't say it's just because of the incoming, because the human responds to the incoming, whether they recognize it as that or not, whether they're awake or not, they're going to respond to it energetically and physically and mentally, emotionally, whatever the case, however it affects them, right? So the incoming, though, is new. The energy that is coming in is new to those of us who are here in the now time, in the physical now time. Okay. In what we call this reality. Okay. So that newness will cause those that are sensitive or who are perceptive to shifts or changes to pay attention to it. So in that instance, then it adds to this whole energetic, this whole frequency of energy that's coming in. Does that make sense how I'm saying that?
Take that, and, you know, let's for the benefit of the listeners, and, you know, again, we're in the middle of the advert, so we're kind of doing a sort of expanded topic bit. How does that, you know, in terms of like galaxies and solar systems and stuff like that, how does that work, that energetic thing work out?
Oh, okay. I guess I'm not understanding your question. How it, affects us, you mean?
Well, what it would look like. I mean, could we see it? You know,
well, some people can, yes. I would say the majority cannot, however. If you're talking about just as an individual, right? There are people out there that have all kinds of little gadgets now, all kinds of technology that they can actually, put energies and all of this, into some computer thing that allows it to actually be able to be seen. Much like the things that they do when they put a car in a wind tunnel, they have a way of being able to look at, how that wind is going over that car.
I see. An imaging system, yeah.
Yes, an imaging. Thank you. See, my brain still isn't quite functioning at 100%. So it has this, the ability technologically speaking to image what it is that they see out there. But the question that I would have is those that are curious enough to do that, would they be affecting this? Absolutely. Even if they're not spiritual, that because their curiosity is what draws the attention. And
right. What
happens when your attention is drawn to something?
We got to go back to the other studio. So give me a second.
Okay. Absolutely.
Oh God, that's going to be another 3 minutes at least. Okay. Sorry, Raj. This is totally going to break everybody's concentration. It's a good thing we've done this radio thing before, Rebecca, you know, wow, it's a long time since it was my first week, I have to say, and I'm still making mistakes, but, it's quite a journey, this whole radio thing. Anyway, we'll talk a bit more about that in a little while. But, you know, back to Schumann and the resonance. It's to me, it's like, when you use a didgeridoo, this Australian instrument, you can, the tube is the same length. You can use harmonics to go up the notes, to make higher notes, and to make interesting sounds. So that's like little, standing waves that you can send up and down the tube. And so it's always been a thing, you know, why is this frequency rising and falling? What is it? Because from what I can understand, it's to do with the speed of light and how many times round the world this speed of light makes it, you know, like if you go 186,000 miles, that's like if you rolled the earth out like 6 or 7 times, that's what you get. So basically the earth, you know, the speed of light, it takes the speed of light, one seventh of a second to go around the world. So that's why this frequency is 7.83. Right. Hang on a second. Oh, there it is. Ah, finally. Okay, right. Well, welcome back to Studio A. We're on Studio B, where we've been chatting a little bit more. So if you want to know what's really going on the lowdown, during the half hour breaks, but not the top of the hour, we're going to go to the kitchen to make more tea. My special guest here is, she shouldn't be the guest. She's the host, but, you know, I've been manning the post for a while. So for the moment, today, it's Journeys with Rebecca and Journeys with JP. So, And it's great to have you back around. And to hear you feel, I mean, to feel the energy of your voice is, you know, it's really lovely to hear you. It's like we've got you back again.
Thank you. Oh my goodness. Seriously.
Sorry. I don't want to choke you up on the air, but, it is really nice to have you back. And, cause we've lost a lot of people, and like to lose one more, and, but to get one back, that's even better.
Oh yeah, we have. And, of course I'm sure you probably gave, you know, some information out, but Dave Corso's birthday was just a few weeks ago, and you know, Wolf Spirit Radio would not exist without his vision. And he was a truly unique and beautiful human that is still missed very much today as he was when he first passed away. And so hats off to Mr. Dave Corso, and hats off to you, JP, again, for holding the reins. And it's been very, very interesting when you go back and you look at things, which has been what my particular journey has been about. It's not living in the past. It's about understanding where I've been, and knowing where I'm going, and why I'm going in the direction that I am, whatever that may be, right? So when we talk about this energy field out there, the Schumann energy that they're talking about, it has to do with the fluctuations, you know, on again, off again, on again, off again. So when you find yourself sliding back and forth on your timeline, that's what I call it, is a timeline. When you find yourself sliding back and forth on it, there could be an actual valid reason, which is a, or not valid, like the other ones would be invalid. That's not a correct terminology. There would be a reason for it. It's not just maybe you musing over things. You can also check, the energetics. You can check to see if there's, been some kind of solar activity from the sun as well. There's all these different things that can affect, how you are advancing in your own world, in your own, this is all inner work. This is all personal stuff that we're talking about here. Individual things, not necessarily as the whole, although none of us are alone. So know that most people are actually, especially those that tune in and listen to these kinds of shows, are actually going through the same thing. They're going through these little sliding, scales where they go up and down the timeline. And it really is a help, not a hindrance. But if you find yourself in a past space more often than not, then it means it's something that needs to be cleared. And these energies that are here, are able to really assist you, in accomplishing whatever goals it is that you have personally to do.
You can ride it, or it can splash all over you. The energy, right, so, all right, this is something we always used to talk about, the energies, right? Oh, the energies this week. And now, everybody's feeling, oh, the energies, you know, all the vibes, you know.
Yeah, you hear everybody, even regular people talk about,
indeed,
man, check out the vibes.
That's
you're like,
right.
Okay.
And, you know, another Jernigism is the new normal. This is the new normal.
Yes.
And,
yes.
Of course, we have to go one step beyond the new normal and go into the new weird, just to keep up with the things and keep ahead of the Joneses.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah. So, that's where you find Wolf Spirit Radio. Certainly where you find Ever Beyond, because, you know, that's what it says on the box. It's almost mandatory to be, controversially strange. So.
Well, I wanted to share this with you. Now, I've been doing some research, a little bit of research, here over the past, probably the last year or so, but just, you know, intermittently, not just like every day or anything like that. But here's what I've been not only hearing for my own self, but I've also, whenever I get this information, I'm always like directed to something else, and I find out that there are other people that are having, you know, saying the same things or, you know, on the same path. And, you know, these are people that, put out newsletters and bulletins, people that are channelers and, whistleblowers, whoever it is, spiritual people from, you know, just all walks of life. This time that we're in, it really is the new normal, and it is the new weird, as you said. That's a really, you know, appropriate term for that, new strange. And people all over this globe are talking about it, are talking about how time has sped up, how things we see, we're still expecting, it's like doing the same thing, and you used to get a certain result. Let's say you were cooking an egg, and you cook the egg at a certain temperature, in a certain pan, with a certain spatula all the time, and that's how you ate your egg every day, or whatever. And then all of a sudden, that's not working anymore. And we get pretty mired in the idea that, okay, so it's not working, and we still keep doing it even after that, and it's still not working anymore for us, right? Well, this is a very simplistic analogy, very simplistic analogy. So anything that you're having difficulties with, like something is simple or it could be very complicated that you're doing and it's no longer turning out, it is a product of this energy shift that we are in. And we have not shifted into a level of stability yet. And I've talked about that for many years, that it's going to be a while, before these energies calm down a little bit, to where we can have, some idea that if we take an action that the outcome will be XYZ, whatever it is, like cooking that egg, right? But we will have had to move into a different space of how do we do that same action, because it's not going to be the same as it was, say, 5 months ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever it is. The outcomes are different. Sometimes our manifestation, I've noticed that I'll think of something or I'll question something, and sometimes it's almost immediate that my answer or information or whatever it is I'm seeking has manifested itself. And then sometimes it's still taking weeks or even months before I get the information that I need or I'm looking for. So we're in a huge state of flux. The planet itself is moving into a higher frequency. It's in a higher frequency. The whole solar system, our whole universe is actually moving as we would understand it. And we're in a different, literally in a different, and the only way to put this is in literal terms, we're literally in a different space. The whole solar system is in a different space than it has been, which is going to bring even a lot more changes to how we even do our easiest and most daily routines. They're going to change, this is where the patience comes in, is to not get impatient with things that don't work the same way. Instead, we're being asked to get outside of that and say, can I do this a different way and still have a desired outcome, some semblance of a desired outcome. Sometimes it's just a matter of maybe you shouldn't be eating your egg that way. Try it this way today. And we find we enjoy it, so we cook it that way from now. It's not about the status quo. The new normal
is not the status quo. It's the opposite. I mean, because basically we're entering the new. Now, as you say, we're moving through a different area of space. And you could say it's a bit like the difference between moving through fresh water in a river, moving through salt water. Different quality. Now, this means that this area, they say that this area of space is fluffy. moving through fluffy space actually means, that there's big lumps of stuff out there that we're going to slam into. And it'll appear to us as in the form of, meteors. You know, we're going to see a lot more of this stuff going overheads, and some of it is going to go, and it's going to connect with the ground because they're going to be big enough to not completely burn up in the atmosphere.
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting.
Yes.
And, you know, at that point, your life becomes a lot more dependent on how you are thinking and emoting, because what you're saying to me is that things that used to be very predictable things are now affected by your emotions, like those quantum experiments in the 60s and 70s where things started getting screwy for the scientists who expected a particular outcome and they would get it. The universe turns out to be a bit of a people pleaser.
Yeah,
in fact, the universe gives you everything that you ask for. And sometimes if you ask for instance, the need of money, the universe will give you the greatest amount of the need of money because it's just, oh, obviously you want that. So you end up needing.
Yes, it's all about the verbiage.
Exactly. And actually, it's your level of, and I don't know how it comes out of my mouth, but it's the level of responsibility that you have for it that makes it happen.
Right.
Because, you know, we're now in a place where instead of waiting for things to happen, we start making them happen because that's what needs to happen. There's nobody else around, number one, with the wherewithal, the intent, and the ability to make that thing happen that you know needs to happen. So it's up to you to do it. So, and that's what I found in the last couple of years, because I've been the one who's had to make Wall Spirit Radio happen. And so I have.
Well, and you know, we also have to look at that whole thing of, in some people's timelines, they have a royalty kind of in the old Michael terms would have been like an oversoul of royalty, right? Where you have people doing things for you. You didn't have to do anything. You just snapped your fingers and ordered people and this stuff happened. These are the people I've been finding have the most difficult times. We would call them in this modern time people that feel very entitled, right? Those are usually the ones that carry this kind of royalty type energy in from other lifetimes and life cycles, and they don't even know that that's the kind of the presiding personality trait that prevents them from actually getting to what it is that they actually really do need, right? That they're actually trying to manifest because they have this kind of oversoul thing going on, going, wait a minute, you know, I should just be able to ask for it and it should just happen. Doesn't quite work like that. So there are so many nuances to all of this. This could take us years to talk about every little aspect of it and all the different personality traits and, you know, what drives each human being, because we're so all individual. What is there, over 7 billion people? Well, there's over 7 billion unique resonance fields out there if you think about it. I mean, how interesting is that in itself?
It's a cloud of quantum beingness, and it's got like billions of points of light, which we call a person. You know, if you're looking at it from the inside out, it's like, oh wow, yeah. So I just got a flash of that old dream of yours with the heads.
You know, that thing still has not left me. And that's interesting you brought that up.
Go ahead.
Because that's just been recent as a couple of weeks ago. I was given some additional information on that. And, these visions that I get at night are extremely interesting, especially the ones that I've carried around for 20, 30 years and they still are there. I mean, it's like I just had that experience. You know, a couple of nights ago, they're that vivid still within me. That's always been kind of an amazement. So I always figured that it was something I didn't have all the information for, and that's why it keeps coming up or coming back. And so that was one of those things that did show up a few weeks ago, was the talking heads, the field of talking heads.
Ah, so yeah. Any news from the field of talking heads?
Well, if you go with, and this is just an idea. Now, this is just, are we at that point?
I don't know why that started.
Okay. I was like, wow, it looks a little early, yeah. But okay.
Something must have dropped on the keyboard again. It's done. That's the second time it's done that tonight. I wonder if I'm alone. I do have the feeling that there's something in the room with me. You know, maybe just the fire.
It could be. Anyway.
Apparently, yeah. We're big on the fourth dimension. You know, there's lots of people wanting to hear you.
Yeah, well, I got a whole bunch of information on that too, so I'll give you that here in a minute. But this is about the talking heads, right? So if you go with the idea of the theory or the supposition, however you guys want to word it, some people believe that there has been some kind of a intelligence that has kind of has been present on this planet that's kind of overshadowed everything. If you want to look at it as part of the matrix or the construct, you know, whatever works for you. When I heard that particular thing or saw that particular thing, the field of talking heads showed up, and I, you know, that's a really long, drawn out, vision that I won't go back through again here tonight. But when I go back to the source of it, it is an extraterrestrial source. It's certainly off planet. And is it run by a singular race? I don't think so. But the talking heads were all connected to every individual. It was just like this labyrinth of wires or pulsating lights, or it's an energy tube that each of us have that connects us not only to the earth, but also to, you know, the rest of the universe. And in this case, the talking heads have used technology, where they can come in and usurp those, energetic tubes, with pulses, that allow them to, kind of see what's going on inside the human mind. So it's more of understanding how to control people. Some people aren't as affected as others. It's just a very strange thing. It just sounds very strange even coming out of my own mouth. It's very surreal. So this could be part of that whole enterprise of thinking, that, you know, that there's been an intelligence on this planet that's actually controlled it. Maybe that's what that field of the talking heads was all about. I don't know. Because I had so many theories of it. And as all things evolve and they become, more fuller in their understanding as time goes on, if it's important enough. So I believe it's something that I do need to probably attend to here very soon, is to go back in there and really find out where that source is, if it's a singular source or if it's a multitude of different beings that are doing this. So, and for those of you who are confused about this, if you hadn't heard me talking about the talking heads before, maybe at some point later on I would be able to, you know, go back through that whole thing and talk about it, but it is quite lengthy and it gets pretty detailed, in its explanation, I think.
It's something that sometimes, in various, scenarios and, things that people are describing in their dreams and stuff like that, I see little, like a brushing, an edge on view of this little field, you know, something to do with these heads. They're like an embodiment for a consciousness of some kind, but they're connected by tube. The tube thing I've seen in lots of movies.
You know, really?
They're working on tubes. Now what's the one? I think it was The Island. A very strange and interesting film called The Island, which seems a bit banal at first, but at the end you realize, oh yeah, that's quite a thing. And yeah, well, I wouldn't have thought of that, but yes, of course you'd have to. that's what you realize about what the film's about. There's a point when everybody's got their feed or something. It's really weird. I'm sure it's that. And they're squeezing chemicals into tubes.
Right.
Different colored chemicals in these tubes. They're on these benches that are flowing past. But somehow they're to do with something, you know, something in growing. Anyway, we'll find a much more grounded topic to talk about on the other side of this. I'm going to go and make some tea and stand in the garden or something. All right, we'll be back in 5 minutes. Welcome back to Studio A, Studio B, Revolution Radio on freedomsips.com, piped all the way through to your very inner ears, through the action of Ever Beyond Radio, Haggy Shack Radio, who make up Wolf Spirit Radio, and where else is it going? I think that's about it. There might be some other places that it is going to end up, but for the moment, it's here. And I'm here with Rebecca Jernigan. Let me just say that all of these stations are listener supported. Studio A and B are supported by your listener donations, and there are some fabulous offers that we can do. Hang on, I had a jingle somewhere. It was a really cool jingle that I made the other day, and I think that it's still going to be. It's still going to be appropriate if I can find it. Oh dear, I can never do that. All right, no, lost it. Yep.
No. Pack free.
Wow. Whoops, wrong one. Stop that. So that's what you can get with Revolution Radio. We don't do that sort of stuff at Wolf Spirit Radio because we're really shoestring kind of thing. So, but you know, maybe in the future, one of the things I'm interested in doing in the future is doing conferences. Obviously, I'll be starting in the UK, but you never know; we may go over to the European continent. Depend if we get vans and transport and things, and we maybe do a roadshow. Who would be interested in coming? Who do you think we should put on? Anyway, send me an email, jp@wolfspiritradio.com. Would you accept us in your town? Are you in Belgium? Are you in Amsterdam? You know, little cheap conference centers. We can put on, you know, 60 to 100 people. Meet the people. Gather the clans. That's what it's all about right now, gathering the clans. Finding our soul family and hanging out with them because, you know, they're good for us. You know, it's the opposite of these terrible relationships that everybody seems to be kind of schlepping their way out of these days. You know, everybody's got some drama about some relationship that won't quite let you go. That you think, hey, is this an Illuminati handler who's trying to stop me from evolving or something like that? Anyway, but there's a lot of that about. And you know, there's also, like we were saying, you know, there's like everybody seems to be going batshit crazy, and I think it's the action of the evolutionary waves that are coming from various points in the omniverse, like our galaxy and the greater galactic thing. Everything's happening at the same time. It's all these waves seem to be meeting here now, and also our solar system we've just gone through a reset of our solar system. You know that?
Yeah.
All the planets have gone direct for the first time in like forever, for a very long time. And it means that it's like we're at midnight and it's just this week, you know, it's all going to start, you know, going back into its staggered motion very soon. But, right now everything's direct. And people are going very, very crazy. And do you remember you used to have Cliff High on the show?
I do.
And, he he's predicted all of this stuff.
Yes.
Anyway, talking of, you know, guests on journeys, you've had so many. You've had everybody who is now anybody on the show. What do you think? Do you feel you've had any kind of influence for good, you know, to sort of, do you see people that you've seen in the, you don't have to be specific, but like you interviewed them in the early days and you've seen them grow and, refine themselves?
Oh my gosh, there's dozens of them. Dozens of them. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I have to say, I have met people being a radio show host that I never would have met had I have not gotten into doing radio. And, with talking with people of like minds and not necessarily agreeing with, you know, everybody or following their particular, methodology or spiel or whatever it is, has allowed, myself and I really, and the whole goal was mostly for the listeners is to explore, different aspects of life, of, you know, this magical place and these magical times that we're in, because it really is magical. I mean, these guests that I've had, JP, I've had, you know, whistleblowers and conspiracy theorists and, you know, highly, intuitive people and, you know, pet people that had, you know, were pet psychics and mediums and, people who were, well, Stuart Swerdlow, I'm not quite sure where he fits into all that. You know, he does all the hyperspace stuff and, all of that. He's not a whistleblower, but yet he is because he follows up with all of that. And, you know, he's a big one. And Cliff High, he was really fascinating. He was very, very fascinating, gentleman to have on and, you know, open up dialogue that would not have otherwise been open, right? I mean, we all have our own little, you know, local universe, so to speak, right? And, it's not always easy to talk with the people that are in our local universe about these things, these topics that are expressed, you know, on these shows and certainly with my guests and their topics. I mean, I've just had them all. I mean, it's, you know, just, some of these people I didn't even agree with, but I had them on because, not because they were good for me, but because there was somebody out there that needed to hear that information, you know? And that's what these shows are about. It's about sharing information. It's about understanding that we are all in this together, whether we think the same or not. And we're here to support each other as long as that support is not harmful to others, right? You know, and harm no others, you know, as the creed goes. So I would tell you is that this, you know, what you've done, what I've done, what everybody on these radio stations have done is they've brought forth information and it's up to us to discern that information. It's up to us to decide how that information fits for us. If it doesn't, you just simply go on to the next thing. You know, it's not about finding judgment about somebody because if you don't like what they're saying, you don't believe in what they're saying, it's pretty easy just to turn it off, you know? But for others, sometimes that I've had people on that have rubbed me the wrong way and, you know, tried to be really nice and they've rubbed me the wrong way. And I had to stop and think about that because it really wasn't their issue. It was mine, right? It wasn't theirs. It was mine. So I had to stop and think about what it was that they were, what was the message? What was the information that they were giving that set me on edge? You know, because when you get set on edge, it's usually because there's some unresolved issue that you need to, you know, get through it yourself. So I'm very, very thankful for, I'm thankful doesn't even cover it. You know, I'm just blessed with having the ability to explore life in such a deep manner that I could not have done in my own local universe just by doing these shows and by talking with people and sharing with the audience. And I've made a lot of friends along the way that I never would have met, never would have had, had it not have been for the radio shows.
It's a way of, I mean, how would it have worked in a bygone era? You know, to reach that amount of people, you'd need to be some kind of, you know, you'd need to fill stadia in the old ways. You'd need to fill loads of them to get to the same amount of people that you get to.
Right. And across the globe.
Yeah.
And across the globe. And, you know, that's what makes this, you know, just absolutely, you know, astounding to me. It's just absolutely astounding to me. I remember back in the early days, and I think you might remember him from your early days in my chat room before you became a radio show host. It was a guy that lived over in Japan, and his handle was Love 2012.
Oh yeah, but we never saw him after 2012, did we?
No, we did not. Mm. And matter of fact, I think it was actually just before the Fukushima thing. We never heard from him just prior to the Fukushima thing, and I haven't heard from him since. And an absolutely astounding person used to write me emails, and we'd write back and forth. You know, of course, that wasn't on the air. And just a beautiful soul. How would I have met somebody from Japan had I have, you know, not had the internet? You know, there's been people from Russia and from obviously from the UK, from Australia, I have people that have called me from Spain, you know, that some people that have taken my classes that are from, you know, all parts of the globe, South America, Hawaii, New Zealand. It's just been fascinating. And, you know, I just feel so blessed because it's a miraculous thing. It's a beautiful thing in order to share. That's what you're talking about, these conferences. I used to do them all the time. And back in the 80s, I traveled a lot. And in the early 90s, I traveled up through until the middle of the 90s. And I traveled all over the United States, and I did conferences and, you know, put on classes and all that, all over. And, you know, it was a challenge to reach, you know, a few hundred people at a time. Now you can reach a few thousand people, sometimes tens of thousands of people, you know, that go in and listen to them afterwards if they're not listening to the real thing. But these conferences are great because it gives you that real life connection to people. That's extremely important, to have that real life, you know, hands on in your face where you can actually see them, sit down, have a cup of tea, cup of coffee with them and, you know, converse and share that space and that energy. And it's almost as good to do that. Like, you sit down, have your cup of tea. I have my cup of coffee. I'm the coffee drinker. And have a cup of coffee.
I actually got coffee tonight. Got coffee.
Well, there you go.
And it's my second cup. Cause do you know what?
You'll be bouncing off the wall.
Well, it's 2:15 in the morning. And I woke up at 6:30 in the morning yesterday or this morning. So it's a very long day so far.
Yes.
I've got a couple of hours to go as well. I'll be asleep on the mixing desk.
Oh gosh, I hope not, dear. I hope not. Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Well, so this, you know, meeting of the minds and, you know, touching people and the energetic exchange, that we get, with people is an extremely important thing, at this time. So for those of you who are kind of solitary, please, I'm asking you to step your foot forward and making sure that you get in touch with somebody as regularly as you can to keep those lines of spirit, so to speak, open, because you never know what new information could, you know, just drop literally out of the sky, as it were. To assist you in your own travels and your own journey, through this beautiful, beautiful life. Seriously.
So, to the present, and, well, actually, what I wanted to talk about, the healing techniques, because we were chatting earlier and I was going, well, it's like, since I last spoke to you, I've learned all these amazing things about how to heal the inner child and, you know, reconnect it and all this stuff. And at the same time, I'm thinking, well, hang on a second. If, if Rebecca's been through like this very solitary experience, she's going to have a whole load of tools under her belt at this point.
So I want to, I want to talk about this for just a few minutes, before I get into these more specifics of that question / statement. I've talked about the, issues that I've dealt with the health and the healing, here tonight at the beginning of the show. And I know there's a lot of people that think, well, if you're such a great healer, how come all these things happen? You know, how come you got sick? There's a manifestation that happens for some people. I'm happen to be one of those some people, that when you have an illness, a sickness, a whatever it is, an injury, a chronic illness or whatever it is, there's usually an underlying cause that's not usually, and I'm using that term, not usually associated with this particular life cycle. In other words, it's something that you carry in and in and in and in until you get to the point where you can actually clear it from your field. And every time you clear it from your memory banks and you can reprogram that memory bank, it becomes permanent healing. In other words, if you reincarnate again and you go on again, it's not one of those lessons that you'll have to carry in, or nor will you have to experience that again if you have literally healed it and changed it. It's more than just healing it. It's changing it and making it whole and complete, so as if it did not exist ever in your DNA and in the memory banks of who you are, the DNA. So, because, you know, I get that question a lot. Well, if you're such a great healer, then how come you were sick? Well, you know, I've still got lessons to learn, like we all do. I'm, you know, even at my age, I'm still learning that there was a lot of things that I misconstrued for my own self of what it was I was looking at. It's very difficult to sometimes look at oneself and be, what's the term I want to use here, JP?
Objective.
Not protective, but to be able to see yourself as clearly as you need to.
Objective, I said.
Thank you. That's it. So it's very hard to be objective about your own self because we got that conversation going on in our head. Whether that conversation be, oh, it's just your imagination, you know, there's nothing really wrong, or you're making a mountain out of a molehill, or whatever you're telling yourself, or I can just, you know, I can push through this pain. I can just push through it. Well, maybe you can. And I was always one of those that just pushed through everything. I just barreled through it. And instead of healing it, I just barreled through it and I became better, but I never actually healed it. So as it accumulates, now it comes into this bigger issue. And now I was able to sit back and go, okay, so this is what I've been hanging on to. Now I know what it is I need to change. So I wanted to be kind of clear about that because people do ask me about that frequently. You know, that's one of the things, the questions that I get. But these healing techniques, one of the things that I came out with in the last of, it hit me, long before then, but it took me a couple of years to put together all the information, was some healing techniques that actually came out of Atlantis. And I had talked on the air before about this place in Atlantis where people would go, and they were able to kind of get reprogrammed, so to speak. And it sounds like that's artificial intelligence, but it isn't. It was a crystalline, room that you went into and you were able to, put yourself back in alignment. So it sounded very simplistic when I said it. And of course, through the last year, especially the last year and a half, I've been given more and more information about it to the point where it became a very cohesive and, put together, healing technique that works, for most everybody. And it's a healing cave that literally exists in Atlantis. And no, as I said, exist and not existed. It exists in Atlantis. It's still there. And, I am going to be putting together, a small class, either in March or April, and I usually, for something like that, when I do a group, I keep it under 6 people. So it's a very, very small group, so everybody gets individualized attention. In this, it uses the frequencies, not only of the crystals, but of the human being itself as they step through it. There's colors, there's sounds, the individual, guides or their projection thereof, will show up into this cave. It allows for a DNA, they want to say activation, but for some people, they're already activated. Their DNA is already activated. What they have to do is they have to get in there and start reprogramming that, to let go of those things that they're still hanging on to that they may not be aware of. This cave will allow you to see that without necessarily having to go through a health crisis to get there. That's the whole point.
Oh, that's nice.
Bypass what I just went through.
Well, you see, this is the thing, is that pioneers have to go through things the hard way. Then they go through again and realize, all right, I can streamline it here, streamline it there. And by the time they get around to showing it to other people, they've really got it down pat. Because, you know, especially if you have to do it a lot, you get good at something that you do a lot. It doesn't matter what you're doing, you know, whatever you're doing, you'll get good at it if it's flipping eggs, you know.
That's right.
So.
I'm really good at that, by the way.
There you go. So yeah, and experience of doing anything new will, bring you to, the idea hits the, where the rubber meets the road, as it were, and you have to modify it. You have to sometimes, you know, change how, you might, deal with the person according to their, different personality types. Some people might react a different way to one thing or another. So, we reiterate every time we do it, we refine it and become better at doing right. What we're doing. I don't know what I was getting. I don't know where I was going with that.
Well, I don't know where you were either. But I felt that whole disconnect.
Yeah, I suddenly found myself in Lossiemouth.
Yeah,
which is a town down the road. I don't know why.
I love it. So
meanwhile, yeah. So where were we? Yes.
Healing techniques.
Yes, healing techniques. Yeah. So for instance, I've discovered this thing and. I have to say, I give you full credit for all the people who have helped me, all the people that I've interviewed and I've had sessions with. I've kind of absorbed everything that they do and refined everything and do things the way I do them. And it's marvelous, and it seems to have some really profound effects and very fast, because it gets right to the heart of the issue. I mean, very much like the way you took me to, what do you call it? The point source?
The point of origin.
Point of origin, that's right. Yes. It's
I'm real keen on that. Real keen on that.
It's so, Rebecca, this is a really, really important moment that we need to be able to, use what you could call point of origin therapies, because there's no time to mess about with all the other layers that have gone on top of the thing that happened first.
That's right.
So you have to deal with that. Deal with that and everything unzips. It's like.
Exactly. Yeah. The rest of it just simply unfolds. It's just because the point of origin is what is the catalyst for all the other things that may have went on, you know, leapfrogging through. As it were. So you get to the point of origin and you just get through it. It's done. A couple of sessions and you're done. And, you know, this is stuff that, you know, I walked you through it and then, you know, I give people the tools so that they can do this on their own. It's not about me hand-holding them each and every time they want to do that. If they you know, if they, yeah. And that sounded really bad. I didn't mean to say it like
no,
that.
No, it's not harsh. Cause you gave it to me, Rebecca. When we did one session, I was like, oh my God, I'm really disturbed by this thing. And you told me what to do, the next day or later on. Is to, you go back into the scenario and run it how you think it should be run. You know, you find ways of refining this, but, you know, it's just like Groundhog Day.
Yeah, it is.
Oh,
it really is.
Well, good timing.
Yeah, I love it.
So, like Groundhog Day, we'll be back on the other side of this break. Actually, that's only for people who are listening to Studio A. Us people on Studio B have this wonderful 4-odd minutes of secret talk, so we can talk about all the people who are listening to Studio A. It's like classing a whole group of people as Studio A listeners. Like, are they more posh than the Studio B listeners? Do they have a greater socioeconomic ranking? I don't know. Could this be true?
I don't know either.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know if it's possible. You know, I don't know if it's possible to delineate people by what they like, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it's lovely. So that's the other thing is you were talking about the point of origin, me taking you back. Mm. I've actually had quite a few requests for that. It's kind of an introduction into it, the class that I teach. And I've had, I don't know, probably a half a dozen people who have asked me to have that class. So again, I will be scheduling some classes. So if people want to go to my website, that's journeyswithrebecca.com and sign up for my newsletter, I'll put it out in my newsletter, which is free and I don't distribute it or anything like that. It's just for me, to send you, you know, updates on the classes and any other events that might be coming up and information. So, that's always there, journeyswithrebecca.com. And it's right there on the front page. It's on, I think it's on every page. You can sign up on, I think it's on the right column, of each of the pages. So, these things have been tremendously helpful. I know I've probably helped hundreds of people. With this, and that's, you know, I'm not bragging or any of that, but I've had so many people that have come back and said it was just absolutely, you know, life changing. It's life altering. So, it's a really cool place to be. And, I hold the energy and the space for people, something that I'm able to do and able to see what everybody else is seeing. So it's a safe place for people to go. And it's, again, very small, limited group, and we do share at the end of it. And it's just a really nice way of like-minded people to get together, and they're sharing a similar experience.
Yeah, well, it's a fabulous little group that we did oops, a couple of years ago. Hang on a second. I need to plug my headphones back in because I can't hear you. Right, sorry. Everything's going wrong today. Well, crazy evening. I tell you, it's been really, really intense. Like I've had about, I came back from my nice walk in the forest and I really needed it. And I came back. After my friend went, I looked at Skype and there were about like six or seven crises, six or seven people with crises. One by one, I had to feel them, neutralize the issues, you know. Two acid or two alkaline. So, anywho. Yes. Well, you know, it becomes more than pressing buttons. That's the thing. Running a station, you know, because people ask your advice and stuff like that. And, yeah. Very interesting. But, as I said, I'm absolutely exhausted and my brain's kind of, it locks up every so often because I go down a mental cul-de-sac that I shouldn't have gone down. But anyway, we've only got half an hour left of this live show, so so it'll be fine. And you're going to be doing most of the talking in your compos mentis, so that's brilliant. At least there's one of us with more than one brain cell to rub together.
I have two.
Oh, good. That's twice as much as I got. Yeah, that'll do.
Well, I want to talk to you. I wanted to talk to you and the rest of the people out there because you mentioned it a couple times tonight about you weren't alone in the room. So I want to talk about what people may be experiencing. I shared at the beginning of the show about when I wasn't able to hear it all and how I could, I'm an energy sensitive to begin with, as I've stated 100 times. So my apologies for being redundant, but the ability to really sense it was even more acute when I had no hearing at all. So it's pretty fascinating. But the other thing that is also going on with these new, we'll call it new energies for the lack of a better way of saying it, is that truly you can almost reach out and touch the other parallel dimensions, or whatever else you might want to call that. People walking through, the most interesting thing that can happen is like unusual smells that will come up and they'll just be there for a few moments and then they're gone. You know, somebody's standing there. When I was able to hear before my hearing went, you know, people were talking to me and I would turn around and I'd look at them. I mean, seriously, they were like manifested. And then as soon as I would turn around to say something, it would be like they would just kind of dissolve backwards. It was a very strange experience, not scary at all. But you may find yourself with more and more spirit beings in your space, sharing your space. Use discernment. Obviously, some of them are just what I call pass-throughs. They're just passing through. They just happen to catch some kind of an energy, wave or whatever, and they're just making their way through. Others may stick around. They may, observe for a little bit. For the most part, what I found though, that most of them are just in observation mode. They don't really intermingle a lot unless they're really part of your group and your group of guides or whatever you want to call them, who are present with you always, whether you can feel them or sense them. But there's a lot of that activity going on. I know back in 2012, 2013, I did a few shows on the idea of jumping timelines. That seems to be happening a lot with people, even more so now. They're being more aware of this idea of jumping timelines, they call it the Mandela effect. I did a show with Brian and a few other people, Cynthia Sue Larson, a absolutely stunning woman, just stunning woman. She just is a brilliant, brilliant scientist as well as a highly evolved being, very spiritual. So not only does she take her knowledge of science, but she also takes her knowledge of a higher spaces than most of her peers in that kind of a group. And we did several shows on the Mandela effect, which is you look at one thing and it's been changed. History has been changed. I went through a particularly interesting time with a recipe. I baked my own bread, and I found this wonderful little recipe that I used for some new bread. So one day I made this bread, and it turned out well and ate it all up. So then 2 days later I made this recipe again, but the recipe literally had changed. And so the ingredients were still the same, but it was how you put it together was totally changed. And then again, on the third time I made this same recipe, the recipe changed again. There were three distinct changes to that recipe, and it's printed out recipe. It wasn't something that I, wrote down myself. It was something that was actually printed out, and it was, kept up on the counter, and it just changed. Everything changed. And you'll notice that people may have been noticing, on the Mandela effect, there was a big to-do over the Star Wars and C-3PO. They're now showing him with one silver leg and all the rest of him gold. And many of us that might have watched the original knew that he was all gold. That's part of the Mandela effect, the change of history. The JFK car going from a four-seater to a six-seater with two extra people in the car. Again, that's another thing that was changed in the Mandela effect. It's all part of has history changed? We've talked about time travel before. There's a lot of time travel shows out there. One of the series, the first time I ever heard that explained so well was the butterfly effect, where you go back in time and you change something. And if you change one thing and you interact, it will change history. And so now you'll see a lot of shows out on TV and on the movies and stuff talking about time travel and about how you don't interrupt and interact with people because it will change history. So I'm wondering if the Mandela effect isn't really a change in history, and maybe some of these timeline shifts aren't people experiencing other people that may have went back in and changed something that you, that inadvertently changed something with you. It's all very, suppositional at this point, but it really stops and gives you a moment to think about things and wondering really what's going on. Is it just the accelerated timelines? I do know the timeline convergences have happened. I do know that the veil, as they used to call it, is pretty well non-existent. Is that the reason why we're getting this kind of bleed through effect where we can see spirits, sense spirits, and you know, they walk amongst us and we really do understand that they're there. These changes in our memory banks, what has changed with the movies and books, people that have books that have changed and things of that nature. So all of this is really about what's really going on. There's a lot of activity, energetically speaking, and you're going to continue to see people act out in very strange and odd and maybe even negative ways. A lot of negativity actually on this planet. It's because they don't really understand what's going on. Nor if you sit down and explained it, would they even understand what you were talking about, because they don't have, that isn't a realm that they're familiar with. I think most of them, some people would say that those are newer souls. The verdict is out on that, whether that's actually true or not, I don't know. But it is an actual idea that could be a potential in that case. So that being said, JP, do you have any thoughts about anything that I have just shared?
Well,
I said a mouthful.
A mouthful. I was looking at Cliff High, and he has a theory on the source of the Mandela effect.
Okay.
Do you want to hear what it is?
I would love to hear what he has to say on it.
D-wave computers. Quantum computers. Which are like a, basically they're trying to get computers to guess things. You know, to make good guesses. You know, to be intuitive. Like, we make good guesses. Intuitive people make good guesses. Mm-hmm. No, you just like do the first thing that comes into your mind and boom. Oh, that's it. You know, like, you know, a lot of what we've been talking about. And he's saying that the D-Wave computers, are somehow drawing energy from alternate universes and bringing that energy into this universe, thus causing effects like the silver leg on the golden robot.
So let's you know, when you that's a really good explanation. It could probably pan out. I've actually seen a couple of videos on a guy that was touting these quantum computers. They were actually the way this guy was really hopped up on it. He was just really big on it. When I was listening to him and watching what it could do and the presentation, it was like a 2-hour presentation on this quantum computer. It actually freaked me out. Not because I didn't understand it, but that was, it's just the opposite. I understood it and I thought that could be a major problem, to do that. That could be a major problem. So this guy was touting these, you know, quantum computers, and that was the way of the, you know, future. And so I'm listening to you with what Cliff High said, and I'm like, okay, to an extent that makes sense, but how come it doesn't affect everybody if that computer was out yeah. there pulling information in from another universe, then the history would be changed and we wouldn't know there was a difference.
He says that the effects are essentially quite local, but because we're talking about things that originate on the West Coast, in places, and presumably somewhere near Kansas City or, you know, somewhere near you,
right.
is one of these devices, you know, probably in an underground base, but it's still
oh, yeah.
got a huge kind of spherical sphere of influence that, and so he's saying that like there's one in the valley, at least, that is influencing Hollywood, which is why they're getting effects in Hollywood. This is his explanation anyway. It's hard to test, but,
it is, yeah. but you know, and I'm not saying that he's off base, but I think it's too simplistic. I think it's more involved than that. You understand what I mean?
Yeah, it's possibly an interaction of certain factors. That may be one of the factors.
It could very well be. I mean, it's just, you know, it's fascinating to me. The whole thing has been fascinating to me, you know, watching, experiencing what I do experience. And before we run out of time, the other thing that I wanted to share with you tonight, JP, that we mm-hmm. didn't get to talk about was, I think I said a little bit about it, but, you know, I don't do dreams. I do visions. There's these little storylines that they continue on. So I'm back to having a continuing story, to continuing saga thing going on. And the most fascinating thing, because it gets talking about what we were just talking about, is that in my vision of night vision, I think it was three nights ago, these are structures that I'm working in or building in or doing something, but this looked like almost like a honeycomb type of a structure. It looked like it might have been made out of concrete, but inside each of the honeycomb shapes was a black void, right? And if you stuck your hand in this black void and you thought about what it was that you wanted, you would pull out material enough so that you could use it to build whatever it was that you were building.
Wow.
And yeah, it was
a sort of replicator void zone thing.
Yeah, it's sort of like that, but it's like, because it relies on the human who's using it to bring out the correct thing that they're, you know, they have to be a clear mind. So when they're doing that, because in this vision, some people were putting their hand in and one person came out with like this goop and, because they couldn't keep a focus on what it was that they were needing to build something.
Good,
right?
Good, yeah.
Yeah. So it was very odd. And the other thing that's also been going on is in all of my visions, there are extraterrestrials in every single one. And that just started about a little over a year ago, that almost all of my night visions, have an extraterrestrial presence there, one that I can visually see. And they're not all the same.
When you say extraterrestrial, do you mean non-humanoid extraterrestrial?
Non-human.
Yeah, non-human.
Non-human. Non-human extraterrestrials.
And that can include geometric forms as well, can't it?
Yeah. It's been very odd because it's a world I'm not familiar with. Some of this stuff that I've had experience, I have no words for it. I can't even explain to people what it is that I see, right? But the one that I had a few nights ago, two nights ago, it was just filled with tons of symbolism, and yet there was, it's like an onion. You peel an onion and there's layers and layers and layers. So what it looks like on the top of it isn't necessarily what's there at the bottom of it, right? It just goes into this really deep, you know, you can get really deep into it. But I'm standing at the edge of this, it almost looks like a chasm, like a long chasm, like maybe the Grand Canyon, but only that's not where I'm at. I'm not at the Grand Canyon, but there, it's just all dirt and red clay and it's dry. And there is one bridge that goes across there, and it's a new bridge. All the other bridges have been taken down. They had all these bridges built over there, right? And in this chasm was all the rubble from these bridges that had been taken down. And what we were trying to do was to build bridges going back towards that chasm. And when I say we would have to get down to the bottom. They'd have to get down to the bottom and use that rubble to remanufacture it again, just out of thought, into material that would be stable and be able to build these bridges.
All right. Do you know what I get on that?
Oh, please.
This is post-planetary expansion.
Probably.
And what will happen is that when the planet expands, what were riverbeds turn out to be cracks in the earth where the earth has cracked before. And so those rivers will come apart even further, you know, maybe a few inches, or maybe, as you see, a huge chasm.
It was pretty fascinating, because there was, the people were all dressed and they looked like burlap sacks, honestly. It looked like something out of a concentration camp almost, except for they weren't all skinny, all the humans, right? And the extraterrestrials were all standing at the top of the chasm trying to teach them how to manufacture something out of the rubble.
That's very interesting. So it looks like things might go a bit squiffy, but we'll be getting help rebuilding things.
Yeah, and who knows how soon that will be. I didn't get the death, doom, and destruction with that or anything. It's just, you know, just a ton of, you know, symbolism. And personally, you know, when you tear down a bridge and you rebuild new ones, you know, that's basically what I'm doing, is rebuilding, you know, rebuilding self into a different direction, you know, bridging the gap, so to speak. It's all been very fascinating, but the whole, and I think I talked to you a few months ago. I think when we talked earlier in 2016, I talked to you about the, machine that I was helping to build, and it looked almost like a steampunk room. It was just kind of really bizarre, and this room was a huge, I mean, just big, massive warehousing, you know, probably 40,000 square feet if it was an inch. And it was just all these gears and everything. And again, extraterrestrials were in it, and they were working, making all these things turn, these gears are turning, and it's producing something, whether it be energy, electricity, I don't know what it was doing, but I had to build a part for it. And very, very odd. It was very odd, but been just a bunch of stuff like that. So, you know, and the reason I'm sharing all this is to let people know, you know, look, there's a lot, this energy is different. And notably so, by what you're experiencing, maybe what you're having in dream time, maybe the people that you're meeting, you know, the important thing is always to remember and wait for it. You have to be your authentic self. Somebody asked me to say that, so I did. But that's true. You have to be your authentic self, and you have to find what that is. And so this is all a process, you know, to try to become more who you are. I think you explained it very well, JP, when you talked about it, about, you know, pulling everything in together and, you know, taking yourself into that healing place and becoming who you were always meant to be. I think you talked about the Lyran, concept today with me. And, you know, at some point I'd like to get back into that and talk a little bit more about that as well. There's a lot of expansion that can be done on that. And, so there's just a lot of things for people to, you know, sit back, remember to take it easy on yourself and not judge yourself and not to be too harsh with yourself.
No, it's not myself that I'm judging. Don't worry.
No.
I'm judging those who deserve to be judged.
There you go.
According to my narrow perspective. It's like we're coming to the top of the show, yes, and it's zipped past.
It has.
And it's lovely to have you back, Rebecca. You know, I just want to say, anytime you want to come back on, you know, the door is open, and, the more you want to do, that's fine.
And you know, I want to make this statement here now is that, I probably will become a regular here very soon, taking, over most of the Monday night shows, and hopefully you'll be a guest on my show again.
Well, I'll be producing it.
And yes, but you'll also be a guest, I hope, as well.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Because we always have great conversations.
Yeah. And, you know, I can always be the foil to your wit, you see.
Ooh, I love it. Yeah. I love it. I love it. Well, this is really, honestly, this has just been exciting and such a warm welcome from everybody and including yourself, my dear. And I'm hoping that, I'll get things put together here and hopefully be making an announcement very soon. And we can just go from there.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Let everybody know how to find you, how to find your archives, because, you know, you've been doing internet radio long before anybody else has. And, you know, it's like you just about finished it as we were beginning. And now we've kind of got a bit of experience. You come back so we can work with a greater degree of equity, perhaps.
Listen to you. You are such a beautiful soul, JP.
I know.
You are.
I know.
I just love you.
I'm just too nice. Too nice for my own good.
You're just lovely. I just love you. And I love the audience. My gosh, you guys are great. And some of you people, I remember you, and I'm just so pleased and just honored and humbled. I really am, of the niceness of everybody and their expressions and just being a part of all of this. It's just been exciting. Thank you.
That's awesome. So, www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
Yes.
Do you have any others?
I have quite a few others, but that's my website. And on that website, you'll find, the book, The Great Revealing, and the class schedule and all of that at journeyswithrebecca.com. The archives are there as well. And, I look forward to it. Thank you, JP. Blessings to everyone.
All right. Hang on. This isn't quite finished. I've just got to find out which one this is. That one. Okay. So we can end that. All right, so now we just have to wait for Studio B to finish, which won't be like one more minute. So anyway, yes, journeyswithrebecca.com, and people will be able to take your courses and things like that. And how do they know about your courses? By signing up to your
newsletter.
Yay! How do they do that?
They just go to my website, journeyswithrebecca.com, and then they can sign up for the free newsletter. I think that link is on every page. Also, I have an events page too that will also make the announcements as well.
Fabulous. All right. Yes. We've done it. We've done two stations at once. That's
yay,
crazy.
Yay. you're a rock star.
Three stations at once. Woo-hoo. What am I talking about? Plus. All right. Good night, everybody. Bye.
Blessings.